you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. This is God's Word. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. You read the other gospel accounts, you know that the women on the way to the tomb were concerned about wanting to preserve Jesus' body and feeling cut off from it because they had seen this large stone rolled there, and they're like, "How are we going to move the stone?" Well, they didn't have to. They also didn't have to preserve the body. Their plan, which was very well-intentioned, didn't take into account what Jesus had said, and that is that he was going to rise again on the third day. And everything always happens just as God said. So when these women are on the way, loving, sincere, wanting to help, they're on a mission to see Jesus. Even though they believe he's dead, even though they're just expecting to see his dead body, they're on their way looking for Jesus. And that's why they get a very different message from the angel than the experience of the guards. Those who were guarding the tomb were professional soldiers. That's why it speaks of, if word gets to the governor, we'll straighten it out. Because they had to do their duty, and if they failed, if the prisoner got away, or in this case, the corpse got away, they would pay for it with their lives. They weren't allowed to fall asleep on the job. And so this story that they were to tell was one that could get them in a world of hurt. But the chief priests say, don't worry about it. We'll straighten that out. We'll take care of it. You can count on us. You can trust us. Trust us. Trust us. These are the same people who had done Jesus in when he was obviously innocent. Trust us. You can trust us. Well, what was the message that the women received? It's the message we receive today if we're seeking Jesus. Don't be afraid. Come and see. Then go and tell. If you want to write your main point for today's message, it's those three phrases. Don't be afraid. Come and see. Then go and tell. It doesn't start out with go and tell. And that's a great message. It's an important message. But that's not where it starts. You're not in a position to go and tell until you come and see, until you know. You're not just, well, I've heard this, well, my parents taught me this, well, the preacher says this. What do you know? Do you know Jesus? Do you know the risen Christ? Have you really encountered him by faith? I don't mean seen him with your eyes. I don't mean touched him with your hands. I mean, do you know firsthand that Jesus is alive? The angels told the women, don't be afraid. That's because the women were seeking Jesus. If you are wanting to find Jesus, if you're wanting to know him, if you're wanting to have a personal faith that's really yours and not just a hand-me-down, don't be afraid. You will encounter him. Don't be afraid. He died and rose for you. You don't have to be afraid. That message, do not be afraid, was not spoken to the guards. The guards weren't told, don't be afraid. When the angel came, they were so terrified that they were shaking and then collapsed. That's all shook up. They were terrified. And the angel didn't say to them, don't be afraid. I'm just an angel come from heaven to reveal the fact that the one you were trying to guard is already gone. He's already risen. They didn't roll the stone back, or he didn't roll the stone back, so that Jesus could escape from the tomb, but rather to reveal the fact that Jesus had risen. And so, the angelic message, don't be afraid, is for those who are seeking Jesus. And when Jesus encounters the women, he too will tell them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Folks, if we could just get hold of that, it would change our lives and our witness. How often do we live our lives controlled by fear? We're afraid this might happen, afraid that might happen, afraid this might happen. Oh no, what are we going to do? We don't have to be afraid of anything if we properly fear God. If we reverence him and know who he is and know that he's on the throne, then no matter what happens, we're okay. Years and years ago, there was a wonderful singer by the name of Ethel Waters. And she had been a star on Broadway and in the movies and a recording artist. And she was her most famous song was His Eye Is on the Sparrow. And she began doing ministry with the Billy Graham Organization. And she would sing at various meetings that the Graham Organization held. And, of course, that was a big draw. People wanted to hear Billy preach, but they also wanted to hear her sing. Because, I mean, she was a celebrity. And so the Graham Organization kind of looked after her as she got older and wanted to be sure she was doing all right. She'd been very successful in show business, but emotionally, she was a single lady, and they wanted to be sure she was okay. And she was living in Southern California, and there was a tremendous earthquake that did a lot of damage. And one of the team went out there to see her and check on her. And she was mostly bedfast at that point, not able to get up and around. And he said to her, "Did you feel the earthquake?" "Oh, yes, I felt it." "Well, were you frightened?" She said, "No, honey. I know Jesus knows my address." Isn't that beautiful? See, she didn't have to be afraid because she knew that Jesus knew exactly where she was, and therefore, whatever happens, it's okay. It's all right. He died for us. The Bible says, "He who gave his son when we were sinners, he who gave his son, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" Doesn't mean we get whatever we want. It means we get whatever we need. Sometimes what we need is hardship. Sometimes what we need involves pain. But it's because God knows what is best for his children. And he will work everything out to its appropriate end. He is right now working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. That is good news. So, verse 5, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he has risen," notice the next phrase, "just as he said." They weren't expecting that. They weren't believing it. They didn't go looking, expecting to find an empty tomb. They brought with them spices to use to try and preserve the body. They didn't expect the resurrection, even though Jesus had told them repeatedly. And so it says, he's not here, he's risen, just as he said. But then the next phrase is, "Take my word for it." Right? Is that the next phrase? Did I get that right? Oh, no, I didn't get that right. It says, "Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell." Come and see. The Christian faith is one that can stand scrutiny. It can stand scrutiny. It's okay to examine, to question, to investigate, to research. It's not as if God is the Wizard of Oz hiding behind the curtain hoping you won't find out the truth. He is the truth. His word is truth. He never lies. And so he says, "Come and see." He says to Thomas, "Here, put your hand in the wound in my side. Touch the wounds in my hands. Look, touch, don't be afraid." The truth can stand scrutiny. Never be afraid to investigate. Don't think, "Well, I don't want to look too hard. It might turn out not to be true." If it's not true, don't believe it. Don't believe it. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Christ is not risen, our faith is useless. Christianity is a hoax if it's not true. "Oh, well, I still think it's a lovely philosophy." No, it's psychotic. You'd be crazy to live a life of sacrifice expecting reward in the next life, if there is no next life. You'd be a fool to trust in Jesus to save you if he was either crazy or a fraud, saying that he is God the Son and that he's going to rise again from the dead. If that didn't happen, Jesus ought to just be on the dustbin of history. But you see, it did happen. And the evidence historically is overwhelming. So please check it out. Please investigate. Come and see. That's what the angel said. Don't be afraid. Come and see. Then, after you see, go quickly and tell. What happens when they obey the angelic message? Then they encounter the risen Christ. As they are doing what God has spoken to them through the angel, as they are obeying the word of God, they encounter the resurrected Christ. That is still the pattern today. If you take God at His word and you do what He says, you will experience the presence and the power of the resurrected Christ. We've seen so many miraculous answers to prayer here at the ranch that you'd have to be a total fool not to believe that God is real and that He answers prayer. I've told so many stories so many times, but one of my favorites that you've heard before if you've been awake is the story of when we needed $2,700. And it came in the mail that day. We didn't know we needed it until about 20 minutes before it came. I mean, it had already been mailed. God had put it on the heart of somebody in Atlanta to send us a check for $2,700, which is exactly what we needed. Well, I think, you know, coincidences happen. Well, how many coincidences have to happen before you realize it's not a coincidence? There's another player in this. There's somebody else at work in this story. Because we're praying and God has already answered. And here it comes, and it's so specific. I love to tell people the purple sneaker story. Because it's just, you know, it's one of those things that show God's hilarious sense of humor, like tie-dyed shirts, you know. It's God loves stuff like that. He's got a sense of humor. And so, yes, they're wearing tie-dyed shirts, okay? Really? I prayed that God would give me Converse All-Stars, because that was the coolest shoe. Leather Converse All-Stars, because that was the coolest shoe in 1974. Okay? 1973, actually, I think. 73, 74 is my junior year. Please, Lord, I know You didn't promise to give us whatever we want, but I need sneakers. I need new ones. I have to have them for this course. Please provide them. And Lord, if You would, it would mean so much to me if I could have leather Converse All-Stars. Coolest shoe out there. So God gave me the coolest shoes out there in purple. That was not what I meant. I wanted to look cool. I wanted people to say, wow, he's sharp. Must just be having an off day on the court. Okay? See, I figured if I wore cool gear, then when I didn't perform real well athletically, people would assume I was still a good athlete. You know, he must be. He's wearing Converse All-Stars. You know? That's the way it works in the minds of a nerd. So I was praying for these shoes, and God provided them. But I had forgotten to specify the color. So He gave me a color that was so outlandish, especially for a white guy in the early 70s, okay, that every time I wore them, I don't mean a lot of times, I mean every single time that I wore those shoes, somebody would say to me, "Where'd you get those shoes?" Or, "What's with the purple sneakers?" Or, "What's the story?" And so I told the story over and over and over again about how my God supplies all my needs. And I prayed for Converse All-Stars, leather Converse All-Stars, and God gave me purple ones, because purple is the color of royalty. And I am a child of the King. I got to witness every time I wore those shoes. Those shoes are now in a little acrylic box sitting in Miss Lisa's office. Okay, because they look better in her office than in mine. I'm telling you, folks, God has done so many memorable things, specifically answering prayers, as only He could. Over and over and over and over. I know that He's alive. I know He's alive. He's not a vending machine who just does what we push the button to get. He is a loving Father He is a gentle shepherd. He is a gracious king. And I am so glad to know him. He has brought us through many storms, but he's brought us through the storm. And so the message is, don't be afraid. Come and see. But it doesn't stop there. Come and see. Then when you see, go and tell. Jesus says again, because now they've seen that the tomb is empty, and now they're seeing him, that he's alive. Jesus says to them again, don't be afraid. Go and tell. Go and tell my brothers to meet me in Galilee. That's what we're supposed to do when we have seen. We are to fearlessly go and tell. Well, the women still felt fear, but they obeyed. They obeyed. And as they obeyed, not everybody believed them. But they obeyed as well. Verse 16, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I am so glad that's in there. I'm so glad that it's in there, because these were real people who found this just incomprehensible. How can he be alive again? How can he be alive again? We saw him die. Years ago, the night before Easter, I was in Charleston, South Carolina. I was 16 years old. God had put on my heart that I was supposed to go and share the gospel with somebody. And so I went out walking the streets down along the Battery trying to figure out who I was supposed to talk to. Finally gave up and was walking back to the hotel when I met up with the guys that God made it very clear, that's who you're supposed to talk to. So I thought, what, after all that time, you'd think I'd know what I was going to say, but I hadn't thought about that far yet. So when I finally got to speak to them, my first question to them was, do you know where the Dr. Pepper is? But because I was trying to make conversation, and I was standing right next to a Dr. Pepper display that I had not seen. And so when I asked them where the Dr. Pepper is, they pointed. And I thought, okay, well, any credibility I might have as someone who can show them the way to eternal life. If you can't even find the Dr. Pepper, you're probably not a great guide in life, all right? But anyway, I bought the Dr. Pepper, and I asked the shopkeep if he was going to be in church the next day. I was thinking, since I didn't get to talk to those guys that I felt prompted to talk to, maybe I'd talk to this guy instead. So I said, night before Easter, I said, so are you going to be in church tomorrow? And the moment the words rolled off my tongue, I realized, you're Jewish, aren't you? I didn't say the second phrase. I just thought it in my head and realized, you idiot, you idiot, you idiot. And he looked at me and went, no? Have a nice night. I mean, I'm so low. I'm so embarrassed. I felt so terrible. I walk outside. Two guys are sitting there on the window ledge. So I tried the same great line on them that had worked so well indoors. I said, so are you guys going to be in church tomorrow? And they looked at each other, and it being the South, and they're not being Jewish, they said, yeah. That's what Southerners do on Easter Sunday. They go to church. At least back when I was 16. I said, are you guys going to be in church tomorrow? They said, yeah. And I said, you are? Don't you know what's going to be happening there tomorrow? They said, no. I said, tomorrow people are gathering in churches to celebrate the idea that Jesus is alive, that he rose from the dead. You don't believe that, do you? No. That's what they said. I was glad they were honest. And I said, okay, but you know what's even more amazing? What's that? I said, it's true. He really is alive. And one of the guys said, well, obviously you've got something to say, so say it. So I said it. And I got to preach to those two guys and their friends who came and joined them and some other people who walked up because they wondered what was going on. We ended up with about 30 or 40 people there on the sidewalk outside the delicatessen near St. Michael's Anglican Church. I'll tell you something. Once you know, you got to go and tell. Once you know it's true, you can't keep it to yourself. You say, well, I'm just a very reserved person. It's bigger than that. This isn't about you or how you feel. There were some who doubted. But Jesus spoke, and here's what he said. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. All authority, all nations, all that I've commanded you, I'm with you always. There is one imperative in that whole section that we call the Great Commission. Do you know what it is? It's not go. Better translated, it would be going or as you go. The imperative is this: make disciples. Make disciples. Make disciples of all the nations. What does that look like? Well, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is a picture of what Jesus has done for us. We're buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. It's a picture of our union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. That is what the gospel's about. His death, his burial, his resurrection, because that's what changed everything. And so, having baptized them, we're to teach them to observe all that he's commanded us. Well, what does it mean to observe them? The word there means keep your eye on it, but the idea is you obey. You're not just aware. We've talked before about the fact that if I got pulled over going 80 in a 60-mile-an-hour zone and I said to the police officer, I want you to know, though, I was observing the speed limit. Say, what are you talking about? Well, every time I went by one of those signs that said 60, I noticed it. It's not enough to know what's right. It's not enough to be able to say what's right. It's not even enough to believe it's true and right. You got to obey. You got to obey. Well, I find that really difficult. Yeah, apart from the Holy Spirit, I find it impossible. I can't do it in my own strength. But there's something wonderful about following Jesus. He comes to live his life through us. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So are you saying that since you've been born again, you haven't sinned? Oh, would that it were so. But no. Wood has problems. I've sinned, but I have an advocate with the Father, and my sins are washed away. And I'm not sinless, but I sin less. I'm growing. Even in my 60s, I'm growing in my walk with Him. And if you want to follow Jesus, you don't have to promise, I'll never do anything wrong again. What you have to promise is, I'm going to trust in you. I want to do what you say. Please, Lord, change me. Change me from the inside out. God, I can't fix myself. I need you to change me. And you know what? You're not talking just into the air. Jesus is alive. He's alive. And if you are trusting in him, you're going to experience His presence, His power, and His love for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that Jesus took our place on the cross, took the punishment we deserve, and then conquered death and kicked the door down from the inside out. Thank You that death can no longer hold us, that because Jesus has risen, we don't have to fear death, because death is not the end. And so we pray that You would help us to know You in a deeply personal way, in a genuine, credible way. And then empower us by Your Spirit to make disciples, to do what You've commanded all Your followers to do. And that is share the good news with others. Point them to You. Thank You that we don't all have to do it the same way. We don't all have to have the same personality, but we do need to trust and obey. We ask this in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen. Let me tell you something real quickly. A friend of mine is a very effective evangelist, and he was speaking some years ago to a group who wanted to learn how to share their faith. But many of them felt very inadequate, just felt like they, you know, I don't know how to do it. I'm not like you. I haven't been to seminary. What do I do? What do I do? And he told this story that I trust I never forget. He said, I have a sister who is mentally disabled. She's not just one who has difficulty learning, but she has very low IQ. And it's very difficult for her just to do ordinary things. And he said, but in her school, she wanted to share the gospel. And she wasn't sure how she could do that. So she got a gospel. It was a public school. She got a gospel tract. And she would go up to people and say, you know, I can't read well. Would you please read this to me? Genius! Genius. There was an old man who came to our church in Atlanta. He heard me preach one time, and at the end of the service, he walked the aisle and wanted to pray to receive Christ. And I thought, wow, I knew it was a good message, but, you know, I mean, this is his first time here. So after we'd prayed together, I met with him during the week, and I said, so tell me how you came to Christ. And he said, well, you know the thus and such family that lives next door. Yes, yes, I know them. He said, their little girl would come to my house day after day and ask me to watch this videotape. And it was the tape that showed the Bible story of Jesus healing people and then being betrayed and crucified and rising again from the dead. And he said, I would only watch it with her because I thought she was adorable and my wife is dead and I was lonely. And so I would sit there and watch it with her. And he said, and finally the message got to me. And I realized that really happened. And I need to give my life to Christ. That's why I came with them to visit your church and came forward there to pray to receive Christ. Didn't have anything to do with my sermon. Had to do with a little girl who shared a videotape with an old man who lived next door. See, folks, once you know it's true, you don't have to be afraid. Go and tell. God bless you.